Capotate, host of The Vinyl Experience, and you're listening to PRN, your source for the best in progressive conversation, news, and entertainment.
PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Mohammed Marandi. And I must say, when I scheduled Mohammed, neither one of us had any idea what would be going on in the Middle East currently. There is plenty going on, and it's not just Egypt, but we'll certainly talk about Egypt. It's important to note that Iran has a new president. He hasn't even been officially recognized by Obama. Well, I don't officially recognize Obama. The Iranian president, certainly in my estimation, he hasn't taken office yet. He will on the 3rd of August, so it's best not to assess things too early in the game. But he has a very long, distinguished record, so we can pretty much assume the way things will go when he takes office. But he certainly won't get any help from Washington. His name is Hassan Rouhani, for listeners who aren't familiar with him. Remember that name. You'll note, especially after he takes office, how Washington beats up on him and other leaders, and certainly Israel. Netanyahu jumped on him immediately. In the Middle East, of course, there's a raging Washington war going on against Syria. It's been going on for over two years, three or four months. Long time. Shows no signs of ending. Talk about peace are absolute rubbish. Washington won't tolerate peace. NATO allies won't tolerate peace. Israel won't tolerate peace. They want war. They want regime change. Well, we can talk about Syria. And, of course, there's a big issue going on in Egypt right now. Coup d'etat is the name of it. I wrote three articles on Egypt. A new one will go out tomorrow, and I decided to write a fourth. I was working on it, getting ready before coming on air, and I discussed the notion of when is a coup d'etat, not a coup d'etat. It depends who calls it one. Well, you know, a rose is a rose is a rose. There absolutely was a coup d'etat. When the leadership of a country is arrested, when hundreds of arrest warrants go out for members of the ruling party, when tanks patrol the streets, when peaceful protesters are shot dead, when others are injured, when many are arrested, and the military is all over the place with snipers on roofs and all the rest of it, well, you name it. You name it. You can call it. It certainly isn't an insurrection. It's a coup d'etat. Anyway, Mohammed, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Your thoughts on what's going on in Egypt right now?
Well, it's very complicated. On the one hand, you're absolutely correct, and that there has been a military overthrow of an elected government. Regardless of whether that government is a good government or a bad government or a weak government, foreign countries and allies of the military, including the United States in Egypt, they have condoned this. And the question is that from now on, if there is an elected government anywhere in the world, is it appropriate to overthrow the government by the military every time there are massive demonstrations on the streets? So the United States is basically, just like it did in the in Latin America in the 70s and 80s, they've overthrown an elected government with the help of the military. The reason why the United States has carried this out is that the United States funds the Egyptian military, and the Egyptian military is dependent upon the United States. That doesn't mean that the regime in Egypt is a 100% puppet regime, but it does mean that the Egyptian army, the least one can say, is that the Egyptian army would definitely need the consent of the United States to carry out such a coup. And in fact, the reason why it was carried out in such an interesting way, and the army overthrew the government, yet installed a civilian head to run the government was so that it wouldn't need to be called a coup by the United States, so the United States could continue funding the Egyptian military with over $1 billion a year.
Indeed. So, Mohammed, I neglected to tell listeners who are not familiar with you, Mohammed has been on the program several times before. He's an associate professor at the University of Tehran, and he also chairs its North American Studies Department. Indeed, things can get very complex, Mohammed. Nothing is ever very simple, especially in your part of the world, and I must say in my part of the world as well. I feel like I live in one sense in the heart of the beast, not in Washington, D.C. or in New York, but in Chicago, and it's sort of an extended heart of the beast, especially the mayor that we had, who's an unindicted war criminal. That's another issue. Sadly, he's my mayor. That's the kind of government. I'm talking about Rahm Emanuel, who was a former White House chief of staff until he decided to run for mayor of Chicago illegally, because you need to be a resident for a certain period of time, and he didn't qualify. He absolutely broke the law, but they put the legitimacy of his ability to run went to the Illinois Supreme Court, and the justices fell on their sword, and they said, well, it's okay. We won't worry about the law. We'll let him run anyway. Well, he did, and I imagine the election was rigged to assure that he would become mayor, but it didn't matter, because his opponents wouldn't have been much better than he was. That's the kind of governance we have in Chicago, Mohammed. And the same thing is reflected at the state level in other states, and certainly in Washington, which is the worst of all. And, of course, all the turmoil going on in your part of the world, you can really lay at the footsteps of Washington and its Israeli ally. That's the way I pin it down. Plus the complicit regional states, the Saudis, the Bahrainis, those types, Qatar, and the key NATO allies, Britain, France, Germany. My goodness. I mean, if we could just change that system, we could solve all the world's problems, or at least enough to matter.
Yes, I think that the major problem that the United States faces, though, is that at home, it can achieve a certain amount of consent. And that is to a degree because the corporate media in the United States is so overwhelmingly powerful. And so many Americans are really unaware of much of of what is going on in the United States. I think, for example, if ordinary Americans knew what the implications were of what the NSA, for example, is doing in the country, there would be unrest in the country. But the corporate media basically keeps things quiet and tries to push the agenda in a direction in which ordinary Americans or many Americans fail to understand or fail to find interest in such immensely important issues. However, outside the United States is a different story, despite, again, the fact that these dictatorships and regimes affiliated to the United States have a great deal of influence, both financial as well as military. But populations are increasingly become frustrated by the way the United States carries itself. And, for example, if you look at what happened in Egypt, both the Egyptian government that has been overthrown dislikes the United States government, and their supporters dislike the United States government. And those who went to the streets to overthrow the regime, rightly or wrongly, of course, the Egyptian president had many faults, and we could get into that later if we have time. They're very much to blame in all this. But those who went to the streets to overthrow the regime, or the Syrian president, the Egyptian president, they also showed an immense dislike towards the U.S. foreign policy, and especially the current U.S. ambassador to Egypt, who is apparently going to become a deputy secretary of state of the United States State Department in the near future. So U.S. policy, as such, that both sides of the political equation in Egypt come to dislike the United States government. And I think this is something that, you know, ordinary Americans should come to recognize, that American policy is dictated in a way and moves forward in a way outside the United States, across the world, really, that makes people from almost all political persuasions come to dislike the United States. And I don't think that's in the interest of the United States. I don't think Americans can blame foreigners for this, because this is not something that's simply unique to Egypt or to the Arab world, or it's true in many African countries and Latin American countries right now. Latin Americans are outraged in the way in which a president his plane has been forced to change its route across Europe and land, and the plane, a presidential plane, checked in Europe because the United States told these European governments that that an American citizen, Snowden, the person who leaked the information about the NSA, was on board that presidential plane, which of course he wasn't.
It was really an unprecedented act that happened, the idea of challenging a presidential aircraft. It wasn't a question of it being an aircraft carrying an enemy of the state, say if America was at war with another country. That might be a legitimate target to go after, but a country that America supposedly has at least reasonably good relations with, we're talking about Bolivia's Evo Morales, of course, and he was in Moscow for an oil and gas conference. He was heading home to La Paz, and Washington pressured European countries, Italy, Spain, Portugal, France, to deny airspace and landing rights. Literally doing it put the life of the president in danger. He was on a small aircraft. It needed to refuel. It simply couldn't stop and do it. And if it didn't get landing rights somewhere, it could have crash landed. The president could have died. This would be cold-blooded murder. And the European countries that act little more than U.S. colonies went along with this outrage. And first they lied about it. Then one or two countries belatedly apologized. What they said didn't mean anything. They knew what they were doing was wrong. They never should have done it in the first place. They never should have agreed. And if the plane had enough fuel, and I was Morales on that plane, I would order the pilot to ignore the order that you can't come across our airspace. I would just say, go ahead and do it anyway. What are they going to do, shoot us down? Well, I don't think that would have happened. But they didn't have enough fuel, and I guess they had a backtrack or change course, at least, to land in Vienna. And then finally, after sitting on the ground for 14 hours, they got permission to leave, I guess, whatever happened. And the presidential plane, there were orders to search the presidential plane. Well, this is the sovereign territory of a state. You cannot do anything like that. It's in the Vienna Convention. It's sovereign in it's fundamental international law. It's longstanding. And America has the gall to do something like this? Well, Mohammed, I agree with you. Obama's fingerprints were all over the coup in Egypt. I don't think General al-Sisi would have dared take down Morsi or anybody else if he didn't have the green light from Washington. There's too much at stake, and I think the ties between Egypt and Washington are very, very tight. There's about $1.5 billion of annual aid involved. Well, it's going to keep coming. There's an editorial in the Washington Post today saying cut off the aid. Well, the aid is not going to be cut off. This was a jointly planned operation. The aid will continue, and the Mossad-connected Debka file said, well, the Saudis and the Qataris will make up the difference if Washington cuts off the aid. Well, I don't know what Debka file knows. They should know perfectly well that Washington will not cut off the aid. It will keep flowing. And I must mention one thing, Mohammed, and I'll let you jump back in. The U.S. cable channels, I don't watch them, but I just check every now and then to see what they're carrying. And I was curious if they'd be carrying yesterday and today anything about Egypt. They're going wall to wall. CNN, MSNBC and Fox, wall-to-wall, covering a murder trial. A murder trial. It's one that's pretty well known in America, but a murder trial over a coup d'etat in a very important country and a very important part of the world, and I'm guessing they're going wall to wall, I guess, all day on this. This is what American viewers get, Mohammed. No wonder they literally are morons. They don't know, people who watch this stuff, they don't know anything about what's going on in the world. They don't even know what's going on in their own country.
Yes, I think that's extremely unfortunate, sad, and a great problem, because the United States is obviously still one, at least one of the two most important countries in the world alongside China, economically and militarily speaking, and it has great influence. And as long as ordinary people in the United States continue to show, or at least the bulk of the population in the United States continue to show disinterest or are ignorant for whatever reason about U.S. foreign policy, then I think the United States is heading towards very troubled waters, because the United States cannot, like in the previous decades, is not going to be able to continue to assert itself at home and abroad simply because it has a powerful economy. The U.S. economy is on the decline. Things are obviously getting a lot worse, and therefore the United States needs to redefine its relationship with other countries. If it wants to improve its situation, it has to build real relationships and friendly relationships with other countries. Otherwise, countries like China will very rapidly take America's place in partnering itself with third countries. I'm not even speaking about the morality or immorality of U.S. foreign policy and the immorality of some who close their eyes to what the United States government is doing. I'm talking about the simple fact that the United States can no longer afford to treat the U.S. government, can no longer afford to treat the rest of the world with arrogance. And if it continues to do so, it's going to make things a lot worse for the United States as America's power continues to decrease. And I think that the incident with the Ecuadorian president is revealing. The United States basically spat in the face of all Latin American leaders. In the case of Egypt, the United States is basically saying that elections can be nullified by any army that is close to us. As I said, the point is not whether Morsi was good or bad. I think that the Muslim Brotherhood was itself very much to blame in all this. It did a very poor job in ruling Egypt. It was sectarian. It, instead of trying to solve the situation in Syria, it allied itself with dictatorships like Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the United States and Turkey to intensify the bloodshed in Syria. At home, it allied itself with extremists and Salafist Tafiris, which are the same sort of people who are carrying out outrages in Syria with the support of the West. So he is definitely to blame. And just recently we saw people in Egypt murdered by these Tafiris, these Salafists, lynched basically for people, and there was no and it was basically because of the extremism that the Egyptian president allowed to flourish in Egypt. So he is very much to blame, and so is his political party for all this. But still, that does not legitimize an army overthrowing the state, because tomorrow, if in any other country an army overthrows a civilian government and a democratically elected government, then there is no reason for anyone to criticize it or to condemn it or to punish it, because it has happened in Egypt and it has been internationally recognized almost immediately. And as you were saying earlier, the United States government will continue to fund the Egyptian army because the United States is playing with words and trying to define this as a coup that is not a coup.
Oh, indeed. So when things like this happen, Mohammed, it literally focuses me on them. It makes me focus on them, and I want to follow the details, and I do daily. And if there's something new that is developing, and events have been so fast moving in Egypt, I was on Press TV a couple of times, and one of the comments I made was that literally while we're on air, this was a couple of days ago, before the final hammer came down and Morsi was put under house arrest. I think there were rumors floating around that he was under house arrest, but now we know he is, and just what's going on, of course, we don't know behind the scenes. But I made the comment that events are so fast-moving that literally what we're discussing at the moment can change moments from now, and we may have to literally change the things that we've been talking about because we simply don't know exactly what's happening. Of course, the people involved in everything, they do, and they're pulling the strings and they're making things happen, but ordinary folks like you and me, Mohammed, we can only watch events as we get information on them, public information, and then we can explain them and write about them and discuss them. And even now, things continue to be fast moving. There are pro-Morsi demonstrations in the street today. I heard a report that at least three people were shot and killed, probably many others injured. You can be certain many have been arrested. Tanks in the streets, military all over the place. I mean, this is classic coup d'etat stuff. And $1.5 billion annually in USA is on the line, but of course it'll keep coming according to U.S. law, and I'll write about it. I've written about it before, but it's been a long time. I'll write it about it again in an article that I'm working on now. I'll explain what U.S. law is. When things happen in countries like has happened in Egypt, and America is giving aid, well, it really isn't aid. It's buying influence. That's what it is. It's mainly military funding that's going to the Egyptian military and some economic aid, but it's buying influence. And that kind of money always comes with strings. It's never gratis. It's never charity. America doesn't believe in charity. It believes in getting its way. So it either bullies its way to get it or it buys its way or wages wars to get it. But this stuff is going on. And I'll explain what U.S. law is supposed to be. When a coup happens in a country like Egypt, the aid to Egypt is supposed to automatically be cut off. But it won't be cut off. And I'll quote directly from U.S. law on that. Congress will probably discuss it, and they'll hem and they'll haw, and they'll do nothing. That's the way things go on in America, Mohammed.
Yes, and I think, so. Again, I'd like to repeat the point that the United States likes to get its way, but in a changing world, the United States can't behave like it did over the last few centuries or the last few decades. In the coming years. The coming years is going to be a different world. The United States, if it keeps behaving, you know, the government continues to behave arrogantly towards Latin America, towards Mexico, towards Brazil, towards Ecuador, or Venezuela, then it's going to lose whatever position it has in these countries to rivals like China, like Russia, like India, like Brazil, like many other or rising powers across the globe. So as I said, the moral issue is, of course, very much there, that the United States is playing a very destructive role in many countries in the past and today, and in Egypt as we speak. And with regards to the situation on the ground in Egypt, when you see that both sides of the equation blame the United States, you see that the United States is playing a very dirty game. You can't say that everyone is wrong and the United States is right. Everyone misunderstands the United States. No one understands the United States, or they're jealous of the United States. The problem is that the United States government is behaving in a very disgraceful way in Egypt, just as it does with regard to Iran. Just recently, just now, you were saying that you've spoken on Press TV. Well, now the United States has successfully, along with its European allies, prevented Press TV from being broadcast on most satellites throughout the world. In other words, free speech has been banned by the United States. You can't hear much about Snowden or any other criticism of the United States anymore unless you just get Russia Today nowadays. And this is one of the ironies, that there's a great deal more openness and more useful information on one Russian channel or on Press TV with regard to a host of issues than there is on CNN or Fox News or ABC, NBC, CBS, or even the BBC. How is the United States going to be able to continue going down this road? People outside the United States see how the United States is banning foreign television channels from being broadcast across the globe. They see the United States as impeding free speech. They see the United States as supporting coup d'etats. They see the United States as imposing embargoes on countries like Iran and trying to prevent ordinary Iranians from even importing medicine and food. And they see the United States treating foreign presidents, like the Bolivian president, as some sort of criminal. When this sort of behavior, which influences countries across the globe, is going to have severe repercussions for the United States as American power declines.
It really is declining, Mohammed. There's no doubt about that. And some distinguished analysts that I've quoted in the past, some believe it began declining during the Vietnam era. And there's at least one who believes, astonishingly, that it began declining during the Korean War era, which was just a handful of years after World War II. So America was really at its height at the end of World War II, and for a short period after that, and the decline began, and it really accelerated in more recent years, especially post 9/11. And some analysts believe that the reason for America's stepped up belligerence around the world was somehow to stop this decline and to turn around U.S. Influence in the world and get it back in an upward trajectory instead of down. But really, all that's happened was accelerate the downward trajectory. And it's astonishing that a country that really has smart people around, I don't know about the politicians, but their advisors, they certainly could pick advisors that are very wise, and these people don't realize that these policies are very, very negative. And at some point in the future, America really will no longer, it'll end up being a second-rate power. It'll end up being a third-world country. And China, as you say, is rising. China will be the world power someday. I hope China uses its power more responsibly than America. For certain, in recent years, in recent decades, it hasn't gone to war with anybody, and America goes to war, is at war, every single year. A final thought, Mohammed, before we have to cut off.
Well, just one example, and I think this is the ultimate hypocrisy. The United States in the 1980s supported al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Afghanistan, and then after in the 1990s it became an enemy after the attack on September the 11th, regardless of I know your opinion about 9/11, but after the attack on the United States on September the 11th, the United States attacked Afghanistan and Iraq in the name of
Mohammed, I have to interrupt because
two countries.
Mohammed, we are out of time.
Just one thing, and I just wanted to say now the United States is funding al-Qaeda in Syria.
Absolutely.
And this is ultimate hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
Once upon a time, they're allies, then they become enemies, they carry out a war on terrorism in the name of Al-Qaeda, and now they're funding Al-Qaeda heavily in Syria. And this is going to have grave repercussions for the United States in the future.
It certainly will, Mohammed. I thank you so much. I look forward to having you back. Join us over the weekend, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Make it a regular habit.